Growing up in Sunday school, I was taught from the Bible, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And from my perspective, I want to be on the blessing side of things.
Of the those who bless the government of Israel?
Those who bless Israel is what it says. It doesn't say the government of, it says the nation of Israel. So that's in the Bible. As a Christian, I believe that.
Where is that?
I can find it to you. I don't have the scripture off the tip of my... You pull out the phone and use the Google.
It's in Genesis. So you're quoting a Bible phrase. You don't have context for it, and you don't know where in the Bible it is, but that's like your theology? I'm confused. What does that even mean?
Tucker.
I'm a Christian. I want to know what you're talking about.
Okay. Where does my support for Israel come from? Number one, because biblically we're commanded to support Israel. But number two.
Hold on. You're a senator and now you're throwing out theology and I am a Christian and I am allowed to weigh in on this. We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
We are commanded to support Israel. And
what does that mean, Israel?
We're told those who bless Israel will be blessed.
But hold on. Define Israel. This is important. Are you kidding? This is a majority Christian country.
Define Israel? Do you not know what Israel is? That would be the country you've asked like 49 questions about.
So that's what Genesis, that's what God is talking about.
The nation of Israel, yes.
So is that the current borders, the current leadership? He's talking about the political entity called Israel?
He's talking about the nation of Israel. Yeah, nations exist, and he's discussing a nation. A nation was the people of Israel.
Is the nation the descendants God's of referring Abraham. To in Genesis, is that the same as the country run by Benjamin Netanyahu right now?
Yes.
That was Ted Cruz on Tucker Carlson's podcast, with the two discussed and obviously disagreed about a variety of issues, including Israel and the current state of affairs with Iran. Now, did I misunderstand, or did Carlson question whether God instructs us through his word to love and protect Israel? Well, to me, it sounded like Carlson believes that the Old Testament promise by God to the people of Israel that's expired, and today is null and void because of the actions of the Israeli government. Some quick clarification, too. In another part of their conversation, Carlson clearly reveals himself to be against Israel and for Iran in that current conflict. So, who's right in that discussion between Carlson and Cruz? Let's go to Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." What's the key word spoken by God in those verses? Forever. Forever is not a word that God uses lightly. The example of this is found in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. "Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God." There's also these words spoken by Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever." So you see that when God includes the word forever, there's no expiration date, and it pretty much matters big time. Will God attach an expiration date to his promise? No, he didn't with the people of Israel, did he? When they rebelled against God in Exodus chapter 32, did he say, "Hey, you know what? I'm taking the land back and I'll give it to somebody else. Ingrates." Nope, he didn't say that at all. Oh, they were punished for the rebellion. 2-week trip wound up taking 40 years. How the law differs from the covenant. That's explained to us in Galatians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." God certainly leaves no question about the importance of Israel and the Jewish people and the right to defend their lives and their land. God declares this in Joel chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "But Judah shall abide forever," there's that word again, "and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will acquit them of their guilt of bloodshed, whom I had not acquitted, for the Lord dwells in Zion." Now, for those who think it's wise and they'll benefit by attacking Israel, Bible doesn't leave you out of the discussion and truth. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 has this, and yeah, it's about you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That means against Israel. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. There's also this preview of things to come for all who attack Israel, either by hand or mouth. This is revealed to us in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9. There shall be that day that I, meaning God, will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. If that applies to you, then it certainly doesn't sound like you're holding a winning hand, does it?